The Lord be with you.
Jesus tells a parable about a woman who has 10 silver coins and she loses one of them. And so she lights a lamp, sweeps her floor, and searches carefully for it. Now, the silver coins we have today aren't worth a whole lot, but the silver coins that this woman had, each one would have been worth about a day's wages for an unskilled laborer. So if we did some math to figure out in today's terms what that might mean, minimum wage, 12 bucks an hour, 8-hour day, 8 times 12, 96, let's round up to 100 because I have in my pocket a $100 bill. Right, to say this is what the woman lost, a $100 bill. And if I were to lose this $100 bill, say I drop it on the floor, and then I don't see where it is, and so I accidentally step on it, and then I get really excited about my preaching, so I just jump up and down on it, and then, you know, I'm walking around, and I kick it somewhere, maybe it gets kicked under a piece of furniture, and it gets all crumpled up, and there's, like, dust bunnies under there. I actually wanted to bring a dust bunny, but ever since my wife, Annalisa, moved in, I can't find any. But so let's pretend it's got a dust bunny that it's all wrapped up in, and it's crumpled, and because I can't recognize what it is anymore, I throw it in the trash can. Now let me ask you, how many of you, having realized, oh no, I threw away my $100 bill, would go root through the trash can to find it? Let's see a show of hands. That's just about everybody. Now it could be, someone said, of course, but it could be that you all just love rooting through trash cans. I don't know. So let me ask you, if it was a gum wrapper that was wadded up and thrown into the trash can, how many of you would root through the trash can to find it? No one? Wow, okay, so it must be something special about this piece of paper, because this is also a rectangular piece of paper, just like a gum wrapper. Now, it could be that you're all big fans of Benjamin Franklin, and you want to enjoy looking at the picture of his bald head. But I don't think that's the reason, right? I think the reason is because you know you could take this wadded up piece of paper to a mechanic and she'd fix your car. Or you could take this wadded up piece of paper to a store and the clerk would give you groceries in exchange. But why? It's just a piece of paper, they can't eat it. To say, this piece of paper has value because the government has stamped it with its own image and signed it and declared it to be of value. Now, it used to be the government backed up the value of this piece of paper with a chunk of gold. It was called the gold standard, and you could go in, and I think the rate was for every $35, you could get an ounce of gold. But in the 1970s, Richard Nixon figured out that means we have to have a lot of gold on hand, and so he said, no, paper is no longer backed by gold. This money is worth something because the government has declared that it is worth something, and we believe the government. We believe what the government says about this piece of paper enough that we are willing to dig through trash to find it. Now, Jesus tells us the parable of the lost coin and the woman who finds it because people are grumbling about him. The religious people in his day and age, the Pharisees, are complaining that Jesus is eating with sinners. And other than some of those sinners being tax collectors, it's not clear what the sin of these people that Jesus is eating with is. So I'm going to let you imagine. I want to invite you in this moment to imagine your favorite sin. You all have one, either one that you do or you like to judge other people for doing, so go ahead and imagine it. And I want to make sure you get a good and proper sin, because I hear a lot of people talk about sin these days, and it usually has to do with food. They go, oh, this cake is sinfully delicious. No, right? You're not bad and wicked because you broke your diet and had ice cream. It takes a lot more problematic relationship with food before that becomes a sin, right? To remind you what sin is the state in which your heart is closed off to God and to your neighbor. And as a reminder, Jesus compares the sinner he's having dinner with to coins who've been lost, to this $100 bill that's been crumpled and kicked around and left in the dirt that now people don't want to go anywhere near. To have an idea of the sin you're looking for, imagine a sin that would make God say what God says in Jeremiah. How foolish are my people? They have no understanding of me. They are stupid children. I love the way Jim read that. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. This is the sin that we're talking about. And perhaps if you have imagined such a sin, you can understand why the Pharisees say, you know what, stay away from that sinner. Because I will tell you, if you took this wadded up $100 bill, and let's for good measure say you dropped it in the mud and rolled it around for a little bit till it was nice and caked and dripping wet, and you went over to a cashier and you say, hey, I'd like to purchase an item with this. Tell you what, the cashier's probably not going to accept it. The cashier's probably not going to accept it for a couple of reasons. The first one being, the cashier's probably afraid that it's going to make a mess of everything else in the store. And the second reason is, if this is crumpled up and covered in mud, the cashier can't tell what it is. The cashier has no idea that this is a $100 bill, that it's been stamped by the image of the government and signed. And so the cashier will say, no thanks. And to say those two issues, of it causing a mess and not being able to recognize what it is, those two things are connected. But let's deal with the first one, that idea that the cashier is afraid that this filthy, wadded-up bill will cause a mess of other things in the store. To say so too our sin causes a mess in the world around us. In our reading from Jeremiah today, God looks out at the land of Israel, the land of God's people, and looks and sees the consequences of their sin upon that land. And it says, lo, God looked and saw it was waste and void, that the very mountains shook, that even the birds of the air had fled, that the fruitful land had become a desert, and that all the cities had become ruins. To say the consequences of our sin affect the earth around us. And the consequences of our sin affect the people around us. Paul writes to Timothy that he is foremost among sinners. And he described his sin as being that of a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, which is a polite way of saying that he helped mobs kill people. He helped mobs kill people out of their prejudice. Right? Paul didn't like that people were going around saying Jesus was Lord, and so when a group of people wanted to kill Stephen, a follower of Jesus, Paul held their coats so they wouldn't get blood on themselves as they beat him in. And then Paul said, that was fun, let's do more. And so he asked for permission from the government to have authority to round up more Christians to do this kind of thing with them, and the government gave him permission. To say when we're talking about sin, we're talking about that kind of sin, the kind of sin that makes you understand why God is so angry in the book of Jeremiah that God says, maybe I should just destroy you all. But God doesn't. Even in the book of Jeremiah, God says, but I will not bring about a complete end. Because you see, even if God is angry at what we have done, it doesn't mean that God rejects us or abandons us. Paul, who persecuted the followers of Jesus, Jesus doesn't abandon him or throw him away. In fact, Jesus goes and finds Paul and changes his heart so that Paul becomes the greatest apostle of Jesus. And this is why Jesus goes to the Pharisees and says, you have a problem with who I'm eating with? Remember, I also ate with you. Because Jesus says to them and says to us, God doesn't make trash. God doesn't make gum wrappers. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, you who would be willing to search through filth to find a coin stamped with the image of the government, signed by the government, claiming it to have value, let me show you something and someone worth so much more. Each and every one of these people that you call sinners. Because each and every one of these people have been stamped with the image of God, made in the image of the Creator. Each and every one of them has been declared good by God before the beginning of creation. Each one was marvelously and fearfully knit together in their mother's womb by God and consecrated to do the work of the Lord before their birth. And each and every one of these people sees even more value revealed in the coming of Christ. For in Christ, God says, I am going to share their face. I am going to share their life, to suffer as they suffer, to rejoice as they rejoice. In Christ, God says, I am willing to give my own life. I am willing to die so that they might live. And in Christ, God rises them up to be the living body of Christ in this world, to be the sacred temples in which the Spirit of God dwells, to be God's love made tangible on this earth. Jesus says, you're impressed because this coin is signed by the government. Let me show you a person who has been signed by God. Jesus does this for us because Jesus knows that all sin comes from our failure to see that people are signed by the Spirit and stamped with the image of God. All sin comes from our failure to see God's value for each person, whether that's for other people or for ourselves. And we see both of those two things in the parables that Jesus tells us today. In the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, we see the sin that comes from failing to see the value in others, right? Sheep have the ability to get themselves lost. We have some shepherds in the room. Do they do this? Yes, right? There are sheep who say, well, you know, there's the flock over here. They seem to be eating. They got a shepherd. But that's probably not worth anything. I'm going to go on my own way, find my own pastures. Who's going to trust this shepherd guy? Probably not worth anything. And they get themselves lost. But then in the second parable, Jesus tells us about a lost coin. Now, coins don't get themselves lost. They don't sprout legs and walk away. Coins get lost because of how people treat them and what they do with them. And people are the same way. People can get lost because of how others treat them. And when people get lost because of the treatment of others, it tends to make them no longer able to see the value that God has for themselves. It makes them stop seeing themselves as stamped with the image of the Creator and signed by the Holy Spirit, and so people begin to take on actions that harm themselves. And this too is sin. And the truth is, all of us fit in one of those categories, a failing to see God's signature on others or failing to see God's signature on ourselves. And the truth is, most of us fall into both of those categories. And so Jesus does for us sinners who are so crumpled and dirty that we can't see the image of God stamped on us. Jesus does for us exactly what we would do for this $100 bill that is crumpled and covered in dirt. Jesus washes us and straightens us out. On the cross, Jesus dies so that we might be washed of the guilt of all our sins and so that we might know that we are truly made in the image of God and signed with the signature of the Holy Spirit. God marks us in the same way that the government marks this $100 bill. The government puts a watermark on this $100 bill so that when we look at it in the light, we see the face of Benjamin Franklin. And so too, Christ marks us with the waters of baptism so that when the waters of baptism are poured on us, we may see what God sees. The face of Christ, God's beloved child with whom God is well pleased. And on here is stamped the seal of the treasury, that we might know where this bill comes from. And so too, each and every one of us is sealed and anointed with the Holy Spirit, that we might be known to come from God. And so too, embedded in this bill are security strips. They're always there, but you can only see them when you hold them up to the light. And in each of us is embedded the body of Christ, and yet we so often don't see it. And so each week we come to this table so that in the breaking of the bread and in the sharing of the wine, we behold the light of Christ and we see in ourselves and in each other what has always been embedded there, the body of Christ. and that we are all one, united together in him. Today's message is a simple one, that no matter our sin, no matter if we fall and are trampled upon, we are precious and valued in God's eyes. That God becomes the good shepherd to find us, that God is the woman who sweeps the floor to uncover us, because no matter how lost we get, God knows that we are always worth finding. May that knowledge in your heart give you strength to turn away from the sin that causes you harm. And may that knowledge also give you courage that when you see someone else who looks like they've been lost, who looks like they've been dropped and kicked around and knocked into a corner and crumpled up and thrown away, may that give you courage to trust that they too are signed with the Spirit and marked with the image of the Creator, and that they are worth so much more than a $100 bill. And so may you in that moment become the shepherd who is willing to jump into a ditch to put them on your shoulders and carry them out. May you be the woman willing to sweep the floor to set them free so that they too may know their value in the eyes of God. And may you all together rejoice with the angels in heaven. Amen.